Hey, Kevin.
Oh, boy.
Guess what?
Yes, Justin?
It's time.
Dear God.
It's time for another exciting edition of the Tape Trader's Guide to 90s Pro Wrestling. Oh, my God. I'm about to run over something.
What were you about to run over?
A giant 2x4 in the road. And now I've got a cop that's pulled someone over and is in the middle of the road. So, goddamn. The minute I hit record, this is what happens.
You should have never hit record.
This is the life of indie wrestling right here.
What?
You got to make the towns. You got to do the drives.
That girl was not happy.
I wouldn't be happy either. So, Kevin, how you doing, man? We just talked for like 30 minutes in the car about all the different things you got coming up. You got New Japan Pro Wrestling coming up tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're on our way right now to Franklin, Kentucky for a big night of action.
Falls Count Anywhere for the first time, Justin.
Falls Count Anywhere for the first time in Franklin, Kentucky for New South Championship Wrestling. The Penthouse Players, the reuniting Penthouse Players are taking
on... Justin Granberry is finally back.
Are taking on the Memphis Kings. Of course, if you are following WrestleTopia and WrestleTopia TV, you've seen lots of hype videos of that, so make sure you continue to follow that.
You also see me get thrown into a wall.
You get thrown your head first through a fucking wall. There was a giant hole where your head impacted the wall.
I don't even want to talk about it. Those Memphis Kings are fucking dicks.
Yeah.
Throwing me into a goddamn wall.
Yeah. That's true. But we are currently on the road. We've got that tonight, but actually we're on our way to film the very first in what will hopefully be a long-standing series called Grizzled.
Grizzled.
A new interview video series for WrestleTopia TV.
Now tell me about this Grizzled series.
Well, our first guest is Francisco Chiazzo.
Chiazzo.
So, that's what I'm going to say.
Oh.
So, I actually didn't have a name for it.
Okay.
You know, for the series. But since Frankie is so fucking grizzled, there is no better name for it.
So it's the embodiment of the grizzled workers.
It is. And here's the thing. Like, you know, shoot interviews became a real big thing in 1997. That's when the very first shoot interview officially was released. Because I know Eddie Gilbert did one in the early 90s and... There's one with Classy Freddie Blassie where, you know, different times someone may have had a... there was one with Bruiser Brody from like 85, I think. May have had a camcorder.
But it was rare.
It wasn't something where it's like someone paid someone to sit down and shoot, basically. And RF Video did the first one with New Jack in 97. And, you know, after that, you know, RF does...
They just did one with Enzo Amore that's coming out soon.
Oh.
Yeah, he sat down with him this past...
Just FYI, fuck RF, just because I haven't said that yet. The fucking pedophile-ass motherfucker. But anyways...
Hey.
So, I'm going to get lots of heat from old fucking Rob. He's going to fucking...
No, I was going to say, you know, you got one potential issue maker with one other issue maker.
Yeah, that's true. This isn't going to be a shoot, because in my opinion, I mean, he just did one with Enzo, but come on, shoot interviews are dead.
Yeah.
You know,
everyone knows about the business.
Everyone knows about the business, and everyone forms their own opinions and truths about the business. Just because Enzo's sitting down telling RF stories doesn't actually mean those stories are real.
I think it's story time. It's really story time.
Yeah, I mean, things are just as much a work as they ever have been. So this series is just basically going to be, you know... someone just telling their story. And one of the things that we're going to ask him, do you know who Jerry Gray is, Kevin?
I do not.
Okay, Jerry Gray is a talent from the late 70s, 80s, and 90s. He promoted shows in the 90s.
Okay.
He has stage 4 cancer right now.
Oh, shit.
And he is actually like a pretty big on Brian Last's podcast.
Yeah, I know about Brian
The 605,
Last.
605 podcast.
Yeah.
And I used to buy tapes from Jerry Gray way back in the day, way back in the early days of the internet. You would send him like $7, and he would send you a printed out catalog of all of his tapes, and they'd have match lists. And so I used to buy tapes from him a long time ago. And he's told a story about, I don't know when this was, a few months ago, about Jake the Snake Roberts owing him thousands of dollars.
Okay.
And how Jake won't pay him back and won't call him, won't respond to him, all this stuff. Well, if you remember, a few months ago, I also did a podcast with Francisco Chiazzo.
Yeah.
And before Jerry Gray came out with his stuff, Francisco told a story about Jerry Gray running off with Frankie's training money.
Oh, wow.
Frankie paid him, you know, X amount of dollars to train him. They went and did like one class or two class, and Frankie showed up at his house for his next class, and no Jerry Gray.
And you like just dip? Like was
Jerry
gone?
Just left.
Okay.
Moved to Ohio. Frankie never heard from him again, basically. So this was before Jerry had ever even came back out. This wasn't a topical thing. It's not like Frankie was saying this, you know, as a way to try and get himself over or use Jerry's name. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This was before any of this even came out.
Gotcha.
And so the reason why I'm talking about it now is because I'm sure we're going to talk about this in the context of Frankie's start in the business.
Yeah.
In this interview. And one of the things that a few people have told me, you know, you should go post the podcast on Brian's Facebook page and, you know, try and get them to call out Jerry. And I'm just thinking, you know, Jerry Gray is, he's dying of cancer.
I don't think there's any reason to do that. Yeah, kick a guy while
he's
down.
It's not, I mean.
He's done his shit, you know.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it at all.
Yeah.
But it did happen. And we have to remember that, you know, because Jake Roberts is getting a lot of shit because, you know, supposedly he owes Jerry Gray a lot of money. Well, you know, not for nothing, but Jerry Gray, I personally know one guy that he owes a lot of money to.
Yeah.
You know, and so this is the wrestling business. This is the way it is. And Frankie's not salty about it. You know, he's not hoping death upon Jerry. He doesn't hope anything bad on Jerry, but it's something that did happen, and it's part of his origin story into the business.
Right.
So I'm sure it's going to be something that we're going to talk about. I'm sure we're going to talk about, you know, Frankie's time in developmental and Deep South, and we'll talk about Frankie's time, you know, his matches with TNA back in the day, and what he's doing now, his movie, Journeyman, which we have some premieres coming up. We've got the one in New Jersey.
Friday, April the 7th in Secaucus, New Jersey.
Friday?
Sorry, Sunday.
Sunday. Come on, son.
It's Friday night tonight.
Sunday.
Friday night tonight. No, Sunday, April the 7th in Secaucus, New Jersey at the Meadowlands Plaza Hotel. And then Saturday, April the 20th. At the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum, all a part of the Heroes and Legends. Let's see, XII, what's that? 12?
21.
21?
XII. Yes, yes, 12.
Okay, 12. Heroes and Legends 12. Make sure you get your tickets now. You can go to respective websites to go check it out, or you can just go to our Facebook, facebook.com/journeymanfilm, for all the updates on our screenings.
So we're going to talk about all different kinds of stuff with Francisco, and I'm sure it's going to be great, and we're going to put that up on WrestleTopia TV on Pivot Share, and I'm sure throughout the week I'll probably slice and dice a few things up and put it on the WrestleTopia TV YouTube page so people can kind of get a teaser of it and see what it's all about. So what are you expecting tonight? Tonight's a big Count Anywhere match.
I don't know if we're even going to get out of the hotel room, because, you know, we're going to Frankie's hotel.
And he's
going to
start talking.
Yeah, we're going to Frankie's hotel to film this interview. And I don't know if he knows the concept of time when he gets into story mode.
Yeah. Well, I think Stormy's in town, right?
Yeah.
So she'll probably whoop his ass into shape.
Yeah. There we go. That sounds good. No, in all seriousness, tonight's gonna be a crazy night again with a main event: Falls Count Anywhere for the first time ever in Franklin, Kentucky, for New South Championship Wrestling. It's the Memphis Kings, Jason Legend, and Chris Phoenix defending their AWA tag team titles against the reuniting fan favorite tag team, the Penthouse Players. Also tonight, we have the natural Chase Stevens, one of our favorite wrestlers in all of Tennessee.
Who I think should be guest number two on the Grizzled series.
I think, but his is going to be like a trilogy. I mean, we're going to have to remind him of half the things he's... Dude, I was in the car with him last weekend. Oh, that's a whole other topic. But, so we got Chase Stevens. He's going to be defending the New South Heavyweight title against the Grizzled White Boy, Jeremiah Plunkett.
Which, that's going to be a fantastic match.
Yep.
And with Derek Neal in the corner. So, you know those dastardly bad guys? I bet something's going to happen there.
Oh, and then we got LT Falk defending his Alliance Championship against the one and only...
Kevin Weatherby. Black Sheep.
Yes.
The Black Sheep.
So... that's going to be a big night.
And that's going to be one of those matches that's going to just... I think that's going to steal the show.
Yeah.
And then Sean Hurley is in action also with the stipulation that if he doesn't win his match,
yeah,
he cannot face LT again for the title for as long as LT is the champion.
So this is going to be the proving match for Sean Hurley. If he ever wants a shot at the Alliance Championship while LT is champion, if he wants to get his revenge on LT for stealing the title from him, basically, he's going to have to win.
Wait.
What?
How many matches has LT defeated Sean Hurley in at this point?
Yeah,
but you can't say, we're still going to pretend like he stole the title?
But you can't say it's not under different... It's going to be under some underlying circumstances that he's always won.
It doesn't matter the reason why he wins. He wins, right? A win is a win. I really think that that's all there is to it. So I think maybe some sour grapes on Sean Hurley's part right now. But we'll wait and find out, won't we? We'll wait and see tonight.
We've also got good old Francisco Chiazzo, our guest on the Grizzled series. He's going to be taking on the fiery hotshot Adrian Thomas,
who is an MMA master. He's a fighter, a boxer. No holds barred. He's a TNT wrestler. He wrestled for Pro Wrestling Entertainment. I mean, the guy is really on fire, and he's also one of my favorite guests on the Conan podcast.
Yeah.
You know that he does, dude,
he's like a regular star.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, they make fun of him, but I mean, well, still, he's still getting over, hey, you know.
Hey, any publicity is good publicity,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
And then we got Cash Flow making his debut at New Style Championship Wrestling with Billy the P, and they're going to be taking this Cash Flow guy is going to be taking on a really, really, really large challenge in the Juggernaut John Irons.
But Cash Flow is a really big guy, also.
Yes,
he's a large man as well.
Yes, he's a large man. But Juggernaut John Irons is like a brute force that I've yet to see anybody like actually take down.
And Billy the P, he's been a manager since the 90s.
Yeah, man.
He's been in this area for as long as I've been here.
I wonder if that Billy the P is going to have anything to do with Cash Flow trying to get a win tonight.
Yeah, you know, I bet he probably will.
With his many years of experience, he knows, because Juggernaut John Irons, he's a great wrestler, great man. But he has not been in the business for that long.
Yeah. So, and as you know, if you're listening to this, you can head on over to WrestleTopia on Facebook and watch the action as we throw it up there. And then you've got New Japan Pro Wrestling tomorrow.
New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's the New Beginning USA Tour, the last stop. And it was actually a newly added stop just literally a month ago. They announced it at Wrestle Kingdom that they were going to be in Nashville. And it's going to be the final stop of their USA tour, at least the first USA tour for the year. And I think it's great. I think it's a landmark moment for the city of Nashville and the community of wrestling around here. We have New Japan Pro Wrestling. New Japan Pro Wrestling, a company I never thought I'd ever see in the United States, is coming to Nashville, Tennessee as the final stop of their first tour of 2019. I think that's a great thing. And I'm really excited to be a part of that big event.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, it'll be a great opportunity. Of course, no one wants to book me, you know, so I've got nothing going on tomorrow at all. I'm just going to be lazy.
Well, you have a family that you like to hang around with.
That's true. And then next week, we've got, I don't know what you have going on. What do you have going on next week, Kevin?
Oh, well, let's pull up the
I have MSWA next Saturday, and then next Sunday, Revive Pro in McMinnville. And they just added Marco Stunt, and I heard... I don't know how many people out there follow Revive Pro on social media, but I believe there's going to be a confrontation between Seeing Nick, the manager, and Duke the Dumpster Drosy of WWF fame.
I've seen there's been a little bit of back and forth
going on, yeah.
And like Seeing Nick just keeps seeing to stir the pot.
Right.
Like just stir that pot and try to get this. I mean, Duke the Dumpster Drosy, he is a large human being. Like, tall,
yes,
is wide.
Yeah, yeah.
See, Nick is, like, my size.
Yeah.
And that's not very big.
No.
So, I don't understand what he's looking to prove here. And I really hope See, Nick knows what he's getting himself into.
Duke the Dumpster Drosy, if you're not already following him on social media, he is a great follow.
Dude, he's a star.
You know, we've been really lucky because we've had the opportunity to work with him multiple times. He's a really cool dude. He's a very nice guy. But man, he is talk about storytelling.
That's a grizzled.
You know what? That's a great idea. I'm going to talk to him about that, cuz he'd be a good one for the Grizzled series as well.
There we go. But yeah,
he's a great follow. He's got all kinds of stories, man.
Dude, I've been.
And he's open about his drug use. Yeah. He's open about, you know, the past.
And he's open that he's going back. He's going to teach and, like, teach, you know, be a volunteer and, yeah, like, rehab.
Yeah, doing good stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's great. I'm really excited to see what happens there with Revive Pro Wrestling. As for me, February the 8th, Friday night, February the 8th, I'm going to Mid-South Pro Wrestling in Columbia, Tennessee.
What?
Yes.
Mid-South Pro Wrestling? I don't know anything about this. No one books me on anything.
Mid-South Pro Wrestling in Columbia, Tennessee. Dude, I was the main event. I was the referee for their main event last week.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yes.
Babu. Everyone's best friend Babu told me all about this.
Was Babu there?
He said he was there.
I don't remember seeing him there.
He said he saw.
I was in Lewisburg.
Oh, then how did he know that you reffed?
Did you ref in
Lewisburg?
Yeah, I reffed in Lewisburg.
God bless America, Kevin. What the hell is going on?
So February the 8th, Mid-South Pro Wrestling in Columbia, Tennessee. And then February the 9th, I am working for the Terry England Ultimate Championship Wrestling in Horse Cave, Kentucky.
You know what? That looks like an awesome show.
Yeah, main event, Christian James of New South Championship Wrestling fame. He's going to be taking on the Cowboy James Storm in what's going to be a big fundraiser event for the Caverna High School baseball team.
Yeah.
So if you're a fan of wrestling, if you're a fan of baseball, if you're a fan of doing good things, come on out to Horse Cave, Kentucky, Caverna High School, Ultimate Championship Wrestling. More information can be found out at ucwwrestlingnow.com.
Yeah, that looks like a really good show. And you know Storm versus James.
Yeah.
That's going to be a hard-hitting, smash mouth, old school style match.
Absolutely, and I can't wait to see those two go head to head in Caverna High School in Horse Cave, and it's going to be a great way to just pack out the house, hopefully for a great cause in the Caverna High School baseball team.
So as we finish up, let's finish up with what we have been talking about the last few times that we've done this. Let's talk about AEW. So, what do you think about all the interesting rumors and all the people asking for releases and, you know, what's going on?
I'm excited to see where AEW goes, man. As you know, I've talked to you with this personally. I'm a big fan of what Cody and the Bucks are doing.
Uh-huh.
I'm a big fan of what they're doing with these pop-up appearances at independent shows and really kind of getting the AEW name out there. And kind of, this is what they're calling giving back to wrestling that's given so much to them.
Right.
Because apparently, from what I understand, the Bucks and Cody are kind of just flying themselves out for free and popping up at these shows to kind of just give something special for some of these shows. You know,
and they're throwing hints.
Yeah.
On social media and YouTube.
I know where they're at right now.
Right.
They're in Norcross, Georgia, and I wish I could be there, but I mean, unfortunately, I've got a booking in Kentucky. They're gonna be in Norcross, Georgia. I'm very sure with their SCU Bandit friends. So that's gonna be a real big time for the city of Norcross, the state of Georgia, having an event of that caliber. They got Mil Muertes on that card. They've got amazing talent on that card. Lots of talent. Pentagon Jr. and Ray Phoenix, they're going up against SCU, the combination of Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels. So that's going to be a great main event right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's going to be great. I'm really excited to see where AEW goes. As far as the rumors and speculation on different guys leaving for the company, guys and girls, you know, that are going towards the company, I think it's great. I think it's you know, a lot of people want to say, well, they can't do anything yet because it's an independent.
Right.
And it's just a billionaire funding an independent company.
Well, right now, they're not anything.
Right now, they're not anything.
They're nothing
at
all.
As far as right now,
they're a brand name.
They are a brand name. They are a t-shirt company that has a billionaire giving them money to sign contracts to wrestlers.
Right.
But I think in the coming months, what we're going to see is the building of a really not a competitor to WWE. Nothing will compete with WWE because nothing can compete on that level, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's going to be a time where we can, like, go back to 2005, 2006 when TNA was really getting up on their feet. I think that's what we're looking at. I think we're looking at a big.
But don't they have to be more? Doesn't their existence have to be more than that? And here's the thing. I think there is a lot of parallels to everything that's going on and Dixie Carter. I think that one of the things that I dislike, because I want the whole AEW thing to do well, even though I'm not like a fan of the elite stuff,
yeah,
and I like Cody. I don't think he's the best. I like the Bucks. They're not my favorite style of wrestling.
You like what they're. You
I
like
love
their
Christopher
ideas.
Daniels. Yeah. I like the fact that they are creating so much interest, and I like the fact that they have such a stronghold on their fans. And I think they're all really good people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Cody buying people tickets for the show or flying them out there. I think what they're doing is really, really good. Even though they may not all be my favorite thing. So I really do want AEW to do well. And one of the things I like about all the rumors and all that kind of stuff is it kind of takes me back to the 90s. When I was a kid and the Monday Night Wars were happening, every day you'd get on the computer and there'd be all these speculation, all these rumors about this guy jumping to WCW, this guy jumping to WWE, this guy showing up out of nowhere, this is happening. And it gave the wrestlers, you know, they were able to grow some balls. Because if they didn't like something, they'd say, fuck you, Vince, and they'd go to WCW. Or they'd say, fuck you, Eric, and they'd go to, you know. So it was a good thing. But there is this funny thing that's happening on social media where AEW was announced, and all of a sudden Vince is going out of business.
Right.
And the guy that runs AEW has so much more money than Vince, he's going to cripple him. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. He's paying Chris Jericho the most money Jericho has ever made on a contract in his career. But they are nothing at this point.
Right. They don't even own a wrestling ring.
And the startup, the cost for year one, there is no question that it's going to be millions upon millions in the red. There's no way around that. You know, all these t-shirts that they're giving out, these events that they're allowing fans to come to for free, the press conferences, that all costs money.
Right.
All of that costs money, and I'm sure they know that. You know, they're legitimate business people who run, you know, sports teams and different companies.
Which, it's almost like the hundreds of thousands of dollars that it does to run this one press conference for free.
They know that that's going to be a loss.
Yeah.
But at some point, when they actually have to come out with who they are and what they are, it is just my opinion, but it feels like it is just ROH. It just does. And, sure, they have Chris Jericho. They're ROH with Chris Jericho. The idea, I love the idea that they're not going to be writers.
Yeah.
But there still needs to be bookers.
Right.
Sure, the talent, you know, if we go into the, when we get to New South, sit down in the locker room and go up to each one of the boys and ask them to book their match. I guarantee you none of them are going to say, I want to do the same thing the other guy wants to do.
Right.
Okay, so there still has to be someone in charge. Who's going to, if they're going to have a television show, they're going to need pre-tapes. Right. They're going to need promos. They're going to need to do, who's going to be the one that's going to logistically put these things together if it's all the boys?
From what I understand, and this is just from what I've read, Billy Gunn is a guy that's kind of leading the charge on that.
I would think that he'd be in charge of the matches, though, right?
Well, yeah, he's a producer. And he's a producer, but he's also a talent, according to his Twitter.
Okay.
So I mean, I don't know where he actually lies.
Right.
But I know that he's kind of leading the charge as far as the production of wrestling goes.
Right.
And then a guy named QT Marshall, who runs that One Fall Wrestling factory out in Georgia, he's actually one of the coordinators as well for All Elite Wrestling. So it's like they kind of are making it. It takes time, of course.
Right.
It takes time to actually get this thing going and not just pop up and go. And I think they're making the right steps with the right guys as far as who they're picking to be on it and who to be like leading it. Because, of course, Cody and the Bucks can't lead it themselves. I mean, they've said it themselves.
Right.
With All In, it was the most craziest thing they've ever done. So I think that they did a good choice in hiring Billy Gunn. I don't know who else they have as producers, but I think Billy Gunn's a good first choice.
Right. And I think they have a lot of time to grow. I mean, I'm not against any of the things they're doing. And just because I view it as this, you know, this ROH newcomer or whatever, I mean, the company, one of the biggest problems, the thing that WCW had on their side was that there was big-time stars available to wrestle in the ring.
Right.
There isn't big-time stars available to wrestle in the ring anymore.
Right.
You know, because since John Cena, there's been no one that's been a big star.
Right. No one's been the star.
They're all stars.
Yeah. They're all equal amount of stars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When WCW was able to take Hogan, Savage, all these people who were older, and they were stars before, but they were still able to work in the ring.
Right.
Now, AEW can bring in this guy, that guy, this guy, but all they can do is be faces on TV. They can't be in-ring performers.
Right.
So AEW will have to create and work on making their names larger than life.
Right.
So I think that's a good thing. But man, the fucking AEW fans are killing me.
Oh yeah, like
and they're making it to where it makes me not even want to care.
Yeah, because I agree with you. I have to agree with you there. Because every time I go on Facebook, Twitter, anything really, of course, there's usually an article about AEW.
Right.
Or like here we got an article today, Brock Lesnar might go to AEW.
Right, right.
You know.
Let's just let this shit happen.
You know.
Let's just, right now, it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's nothing at all.
But here's the thing. When this speculation happens, and it's just, it's the regular speculation that happens in any wrestling company at any point in time. You know, there's contract negotiations all the time with WWE, and it's never been blown out of this proportion.
Right, right. I think it's because the boys see a lot of money. And I'm not talking about Cody and the Bucks. I'm talking about the wrestling industry.
Yeah.
The boys, when they see money, when they smell money, they'll do whatever it takes to get some of it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a problem because I have personally been involved in companies where there was a lot of money, millions of dollars.
Right.
Millions of dollars at hand the owner had in their pocket, liquid money, you know? Millions of dollars, and the boys did everything they could to suck as much of that as they possibly could, you know?
So I think that's where the business acumen of Tony Khan and all that comes into play, where, you know, you have to have someone that can say, stop, this is my company.
Right.
You know, Tony Khan's basically the president and CEO of that company.
Right.
So it's like, you know, if he's the one that's doing the signing the contract and saying, signing the dotted line and saying, hey, you're a part of this, I think he's the one that's going to be like, he's going to be using that business acumen to
I hope advantage. So. I really do, because from what I understand, the thing that fueled the rumors about Brock so much is that Chris Jericho wants to wrestle Brock.
Yeah.
He wants to wrestle.
Well, and it's because, you know, last, when the Kenny Omega thing happened, it started with a tweet.
Uh-huh.
Everything starts with a tweet now.
Right.
So if Chris Jericho goes on this quote unquote drunken rant about Brock Lesnar and then deletes the tweet later, that immediately means that he's going to be working Brock Lesnar at AEW.
Right.
You know.
So how if Jericho has this pool that he does, you know, will the Khans invest more money than they really need to? I think Lesnar is a humongous draw.
Yeah.
I think he's worth a lot of money. I don't think he's worth as much money as WWE pays him.
Yeah.
I think they pay him way, way too much for the climate of wrestling today. You don't make money at house shows. You don't make money selling pay-per-views, you know?
Right.
I don't think that Brock Lesnar sells as many tickets. I think Royal Rumble would have sold just as many tickets with or without Lesnar on the card.
You would think so?
I do, yeah. I don't think Brock Lesnar versus Finn Balor was the reason to buy a ticket to Royal Rumble.
Right.
So it's not that I don't think that he has value, and it's not that I don't think that he should not be one of the top paid guys in the WWE, but I don't believe he has got $10 million worth of value.
Right.
I just don't see it. We don't live in a day and age anymore where pay-per-view buys, they don't matter. People, you know, 1.7 million people subscribe to the WWE Network, and that number will fluctuate up and down by a couple hundred thousand people every month.
Yeah.
It just, it makes no difference whether or not Lesnar is employed there or not.
Yeah.
You know? And so, can Jericho talk this guy into say, hey, spend all this money when he's not really going to bring as much as it spends, just because he's already making that in the WWE.
Right, because my understanding, and this, again, I don't know anything.
Neither one of us do.
Yeah, yeah.
This is all opinion. Yeah. And
yeah. But from what I understand, the only reason Lesnar went back to WWE is because Vince gave him this outrageous price.
Right.
That was more than the UFC was offering at the time. So it was like, okay, well, I'll go where the money takes me. So let's say Vince is paying $10 million to Brock over however so many appearances.
Right.
How much is Tony Khan going to pay?
Exactly. And the difference between Vince and Tony Khan is Vince has an established amount of money that's already coming in, that $10 million is a small price to pay.
Yeah.
When you're a startup company that's, you know, within its first 2 years worth of existence, can that $10 million is going to hit you in a much different way. Because you already have losses piling up on you.
Right.
Just by promoting, just by getting out of the gate, you've already have this X amount of dollars that is just going to be uncontrollable, and you're going to lose no matter what.
Because, like, if these guys are, like, let's say, like, QT, I don't know if he's a salaried employee or not.
Right.
But if he is, he's already getting a paycheck.
I would assume everyone is.
Yeah.
You know, I really would. From what I have heard, is these contracts that they're signing, they have basically, like, a downside weekly amount of money that they are paid until their first event.
Yeah.
That is, and it's not like a, it's like, basically for, this is, again, just a thrown out number. For $200 a week, you can go wrestle whatever indie you want, but you cannot sign a WWE contract.
Yeah.
You cannot sign an ROH contract.
Yeah, because
you cannot sign a contract with another company for X amount of time.
Because, like, MJF, he's not an exclusive AEW guy, but he is under an AEW contract.
Right. So he can still go work other places, but I guarantee you once Double or Nothing happens, all of those guys will be pulled from whatever indie shows they're appearing in. That, I think...
I hope
that
not,
is going to be...
I hope not, though, because...
But then your Impact. Then AEW is Impact. If I can go... If I can drive to Georgia, if I can call MJF myself...
Yeah.
And book him on a show in Franklin, Tennessee, or Franklin, Kentucky, if I can book him myself, then what the fuck is the point in watching him on AEW?
I can see what you mean, but then what's the point?
That's why Impact is having so much trouble.
Yeah, well, I can see.
Their shows are awesome right now.
Yeah.
Their matches are great.
But the talent
on TV is awesome.
But they're letting them go
work
everywhere.
But you can see them anywhere.
Right.
I book Kira Talent every other month.
Yeah.
You know, I can call anyone that's on. I mean, I've had gotten into conversations with Drago, Aerostar, all about bringing them here to Tennessee.
Yeah.
So I can't do that with Randy Orton.
Right.
I can't call Randy Orton up and book him. I mean, I could. There's third-party bookings with the WWE, but the cost is so extravagant
that
they can't wrestle.
Yeah, you have to be a big-time player to even have to mess with them.
Exactly.
And that's why they only mess with the big-time players.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's say this then. They pull them from all the other indies unless it's an indie that's approved by AEW.
Now, that's something different.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing wrong with
working. Because obviously the Young Bucks are still trying to...
We're just in a different world. It's a different...
Well, here, all the places they're appearing at are all places I see being connected to AEW in some
right,
way.
Right, right.
Like, here, Defy, big company out in Seattle, but it's an indie company just like... it's a super indie company like AEW is.
Which is run by Matt Farmer, who's a really great dude, FYI. Yeah. He's a buddy of mine.
Northeast Wrestling, that's another company that's booked a bunch of great independent talent.
Bar Wrestling, owned by Joey Ryan.
Yeah, so I really think, you know, that's going to be the end-all be-all after Double or Nothing.
Right.
It's going to be the companies that they are friends with.
Right.
And then, so that way, it makes those companies a commodity to go to, along with AEW.
Well, I certainly wish them all the best. I really, really do.
Where's Frankie's hotel?
Holiday Inn.
Shh.
And kayfabe. Super 8. Yeah,
that's Super 8. That's even worse.
I certainly hope the best for everyone. Make sure everyone check out WrestleTopia, WrestleTopia TV on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all social media. Follow Kevin Martin on all social media. And we are about to get grizzled, I guess.
Oh,
boy. We will see you next time.
Hey, your microphone came unplugged.